going to now go on the newsmaker line, and we bring in our good friend Jesse Merrick from News 3. He's also fresh off an appearance on our own Just Pod Baby podcast with Evan Grote, so he spent a lot of time with us this week. Jesse, what's going on, man?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Doing okay. Let's just dive right in. So this, I mean, the word of the week is defense, right, or lack thereof. And you know, you were active in the post game press conference asking questions about it. And yesterday, John Gruden came out and said, "Look, we're gonna solve it inside. We have we're gonna make some changes, scheme changes. We might even make some player changes. But what do you make out of this, and what the Raiders can actually do? Because they have done some things differently. Included, we heard when we had Cleveland Furrow on this show just a couple weeks ago, he told us they were simplifying the scheme a little bit, and they seem to make progress against Kansas City, Jesse. But then they go out against Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, and they look like they're back to square one."
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe you want to de-simplify, make it a little more complex now, because, yeah, you had a little bit of success there against Kansas City, but you got to get something going. I went back and watched the game last night and was just kind of paying attention to the defensive line, and obviously that's been the hot-button issue. Everybody's talking about what they're going to do there, and it just kind of seemed like they were just lining up and rushing straight, or lining up and getting pushed off the ball, right, left, back, whatever it is, when the Bucs wanted to run the ball. So I think, I mean, like Gruden said, it was some stunts, blitz. Do whatever you got to do to manufacture that rush, because what you're doing right now clearly isn't working. You've given up 190 points, which is the second most in franchise history through six games. That is unbelievable. So obviously you got to do something to mix it up. So why not blitz and see what you got going? Also, I'm sure you guys saw Damon Arnett tweeted that he's COVID-free and his hand is feeling better. So maybe he's coming back. So you could have your 1-2 punch to the corner. You can have Abram back. You have a little bit more trust in your secondary moving forward too, maybe.
Well, going back to the defensive line and the struggles to get pressures on the quarterback, obviously Brady dropped back like 43 times, and I think Mo Hurst is the only one that even got near him. But besides, I mean, that is not even the factor. One of the things that Hondo Carpenter brought up to us yesterday was the fact that it just looked like a lot of those guys weren't really not giving effort, but they just weren't trying hard enough to beat their one-on-ones. Is it just, do you think it's just a matter of going and getting guys that want to beat their one-on-ones, that are hungry enough to go and beat their one-on-ones, maybe even some guys that you had on the practice squad that performed well for you in the Kansas City game?
Well, I mean, one guy that I don't think you have to worry about is Crosby. Like, we all know right. that he's got a motor like nobody else. And obviously, he's gotten a couple numbers, but nothing that anybody is going to write home about. So obviously, we need more out of him. But you don't have to worry about his attitude. My big question mark, and I hate even going after guys, but on the D-line, on the D-tackle spot, you know, that's where we haven't seen anything, any sort of pressure right up the gut throughout the center of the pocket right there. And that's what you got to do to be able to get this quarterback or these quarterbacks to kind of leave the pocket, and that's where Klee and, you know, Max can start to eat a little bit more. So I'm just real interested to see kind of what they do in terms of personnel and how they mix it up. But I do think Mo Hurst has earned more of an opportunity just with the effort that we've seen from him, because any time that I've seen him out there, he's that dude that even if he doesn't get to the quarterback or it's a run or whatever it is, he's running downfield to go after the guy. So he's got the motor too. So you need to get the guys in there that have that relentless motor, that attitude, that just want it. And maybe some of those guys that haven't seen the field as much will bring a little bit more of that intensity. And you never know. That could just be the thing that kind of gets you going a little bit. You got to find something that works, because, again, it's not working right now.
Jesse Merrick from News 3 Las Vegas joins us, covers the Raiders on a daily basis. And Jesse, you mentioned it just there. I think, and Q mentioned it earlier too, and that is, I think that's, they got to get a little bit drastic with, hey, you know what? If you're not, they keep talking about next man up, right? And that's usually about injuries. But if I am Rod Marinelli and I am Paul Gunther, I start saying, all right, Cleveland Furrow, all right, Malik Collins, Dayton Jones is going to play in your spot. We're going to bring him up. We're going to activate him off the practice squad, and we're going to play him, because you know what? Against Kansas City, he actually got a push up the middle. Now, different teams, different lines, but I just think at this point, you know, we've all played sports where we've seen coaches sometimes say, "Hey, you know what? Yeah, you think this guy is just a reserve player, but you're not playing up to speed." And I think yesterday Honda was right that you saw some guys whose effort was not up to snuff. And is that something you think about maybe? Is say, hey, look, guys, you know what? We're going to bring up some of these guys and let them compete this week, and if they play better than you, they're going to be active and you won't.
Man, let me ask you this question. If your boss told you, I'm going to take your seat on the air away from you and give it to somebody else and you can earn it back, what's that going to do to you? It's going to light a fire under your butt, and I think that's exactly what could happen. I mean, this is these guys' careers. Obviously, some of them are young in their career, and they still have a long career, hopefully, ahead of them. But, man, you take someone's job, that's going to motivate them. And as a coach, your job is to motivate. You got to figure out a way to do it. So maybe that's a way to get it done and then see what they do with limited snaps, and maybe they earn their way back in. So I don't know about you, but if someone takes something from me, I'm going to do whatever I can to get it back. So maybe that's something that does work.
Amen on that. Yeah, that's no the doubt. Exact way to think. You know, you always want to hold off the next man from taking your spot. As far as, you know, kind of looking at the big picture and the team being 3-3 after six games, you know, it's not ideal. It could have been better, but it also could have been worse. So what has just been your overall thoughts on what you've seen from the team in general this season?
To be completely honest, man, I've told you guys just a couple times I popped on with you, they're 3-3. Look at the gauntlet that they've just run through. I mean, the Saints have had their ups and downs, but they're still a good team. They played the Patriots, who now obviously don't look like the Patriots. But then they played the Bills, Kansas City, Tampa Bay. I mean, those are some really good teams. Then when you look ahead to what's coming, I think there can be some optimism. You look at the schedule, and what offense there really scares you. Obviously, Justin Herbert has been doing really well throwing the ball down the field, and Cleveland's been running it, and we saw what they did last week. But outside of that, and obviously Kansas City again, but outside of that, okay, Denver shouldn't be too scary. Atlanta, yeah, they've got some guys, and they can chuck it, but that defense, you should be able to get to work on them. New York, Indy, Miami, we'll see what Tua brings. So, I mean, there should be a light at the end of the tunnel that where you can look ahead and say, okay, if our defense can just be serviceable, our offense is good enough to win a shootout against most of those teams, just not, you know, the Kansas Cities or the Tampa Bays or the teams that are just going to score a ton of points.
No doubt about it. Now, when you look at this game against Cleveland, I'll say I'm going to go as far as to say that this is a must-win game for them. I would even be of the opinion that they could beat Cleveland and lose to the Chargers, and I would still be okay with that. I think this Cleveland game, though, is one you go on the road. It's coming off this loss at home by 25 points. You think they have a good shot? I mean, you have Baker Mayfield kind of had a good game, but I look at the Raiders offensively and the way they match up with Cleveland, and I think they have a good shot. I think Derek Carr is going to have a big day, and if they can win this game, get back home, and then have to go down to Los Angeles, which would usually be a home game of fans were allowed in, by the way. They have a good shot against the Chargers, too. But to me, this one's like a must win.
Yeah, I would say it probably is. So, I mean, you know, you've got the Raiders being in the playoff picture for that last spot or the expanded spot. Well, the Browns are also one of those teams that's in contention for that. So if you want that last spot, you've got to be able to beat teams that are also in that area as well. So, again, don't like attaching the must win to it. But I think this is one of those ones that you must win to prove to yourself that, hey, even if we can't beat, you know, the elite, the upper echelon teams, we can beat these other playoff teams. And then from there, you continue to build off of that.
What have you seen from the offense in general? Obviously, the defense is something we've been concentrating on all week just because of, well, what we saw on Sunday and, you know, what we've seen throughout the course of the season. But the offense, to me, looks like it's doing really well. Scott mentioned Derek Carr having a big day this upcoming Sunday, but I thought he did a really good job on Sunday against the Buccaneers, even though it came in a loss. It looks like this offense is doing pretty well, and it has room to grow as well.
I agree with you, man. I mean, I haven't looked at the rankings, but I believe they're still a top 10 offense or somewhere around there. And I mean, again, look at all the injuries that they've had. You know, obviously, you know, they haven't had Tyrell Williams all year, but then if they're talking about hopefully getting Brian Edwards back in the mix soon, you know, Gruden talked yesterday about needing to get Rubs the ball more. You've got to imagine that once they get healthy along the offensive line, Josh is going to get cooking again. So that's the thing, is you like what they've done. And even look at the numbers in terms of points that they've managed to score against some of these teams that they've played against. Obviously, you know, the game got a little out of hand there at the end against the Bucs, and then Carr throws the interception. So the score looks a little more crooked than it was. But this is an offense that can get going. And, again, they just need that serviceable defense to hold on to it and not let the game get out of hand. But I like what the offense is doing as a whole. And I think Gruden has been real creative in some of his play calls and things like that. Again, it's just getting Ruggs involved more, even when Josh Jacobs isn't rolling. I think that will help to open things up for everybody, because, again, Ruggs just has that elite speed. How many times have we all thought when Ruggs gets going, the different dynamics that he brings to this offense.
No doubt about it. Jesse Merrick is our guest from News 3. And before he lets you go, Jesse, you know, the trade deadline's coming up next week to coincide right around Election Day and Q's birthday, by the way. When you look at this, we've heard really the only sort of quote-unquote rumor we've heard around is Quinnen Williams of the Jets, who's a good interior defensive tackle, the kind of guy you said the Raiders need. Q mentioned maybe a third and fifth round pick or something like that. Would you be willing, if you're the Raiders, knowing how much they value their draft capital at this point in the rebuild, would you part with those draft picks to get a Quinnen Williams?
You know, this is one of the few that I think I would. I mean, he's young, obviously. I'm a bit, not, I wouldn't say biased, but I know a little bit more about Quinnen because I actually covered him in college when he was at Alabama. And that kid was a freak of nature. I think if you get him there with, you know, some of the guys along the offensive line or on the defensive line that have that motor, and obviously Quinnen's one of those dudes, he's a good character guy, he's got a high motor, I think he could start to produce a little more because, again, remember how Coach Gruden talked about the fact that Malik Collins was going to be kind of the linchpin for their defense. Well, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for somebody that can be that anchor, that linchpin type of guy, and they need it from that D-tackle spot. I think Quinnen is a guy that could come in and do that and, man, start to generate some sort of pressure. And, again, if you get one guy in there that starts to command those double teams and really gets into the backfield, that's going to open things up for everybody. And I think Quinnen is a guy that you can do that with because he's young, he's still on that rookie deal, going to be for a couple years, and you can kind of roll and build your defensive line off of and the other young guys that they've got in the mix there. So I think he's a guy that it would be worth giving up that draft capital for. But if the Jets are asking any more than, you know, that third and fifth, that's where you really got to start to think of it. I don't think I'd give up a second or a first-round pick for him.
There you go. Jesse Merrick, News 3 here in Las Vegas. Good friend of the show. Also great on television when you watch him cover the Raiders. Jesse, thanks again, man. We'll talk to you really, really soon.
Of course. Appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
All right. There you go. You can also listen to Jesse was on the Just Pod Baby podcast, which you can also download as well. So you're getting your dose of Jesse. We're going to get in a caller queue before the break. We're going out to the Empire State. D-Nice in New York. You're on with Q and Scott here on Silver and Black Today.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Like the show.
Thanks, man.
I was, for the first time in a long time, impressed with the defense against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And there was three guys that played in that game that we really never even heard of. Chris Jones, Dayton Jones, and Kendall Vickers. They had Arden Key kind of roaming around like a wild man, and they were able to disrupt what the best offense in the league was doing at the time. What it just seems simple. Why didn't those guys play? Why did we, you know, I think we brought back Hurston Collins, but, you know, the week before or 2 weeks before that, those guys were wrecking the Chiefs offense. For the first time in a long time, I was impressed. And we all know what we saw last week or a couple days ago. I don't know. I'm going to hang up and listen to what you guys think about it. I mean, it just seems simple. Put those guys back in. Take Key off the end, let them roam around. It worked against the best offense. It's got to work.
Yeah.
Thanks for the time.
Thanks, D-Nice. We appreciate you calling out all the way from New York. And Q, he brings up a good point there. We mentioned it with Jesse, which is, hey, let those guys go at it in practice. And if I'm John Gruden and John Gunther, or Paul Gunther, excuse me, I'm saying to my guys, listen, every position is now open.
Right, of course. I mean, that's what you do. I'd rather go down swinging with the guys that are out there giving me their all than the guys that have names and have, you know, maybe a Captain C on their chest and they're not giving you what you got them in there to give. I mean, and Malik Collins has been a huge disappointment. And, you know, I've seen him do really well in Dallas. I've seen him perform really well, do some good things in Dallas. He hasn't done that. And I don't care about his familiarity with Rod Marinelli. He's not getting it done. He was being brought in for a reason. He was supposed to be a difference maker on the defensive line. He's not doing it. So sit his butt down. You know, put someone in there who wants to perform and be the guy. And that goes for the rest of the squad. And I'll say with Arden Key, I think he was good in that game against Kansas City because he was basically used as a spy on Patrick Mahomes, who's going to move around a lot.
Exactly.
But every other quarterback's not going to really be that guy. Maybe Baker Mayfield a little bit, so maybe he gets a little bit more burn. But Arden Key, in my opinion, ever since he's been a Raider, he's been a disappointment. I mean, he's just like an athletic guy. Mm-hmm. He's back there in the backfield, but he's never, ever completing the deal.
Yeah, he doesn't close the deal. And I'll tell you that one thing before we got to hit a break here is that was the difference. You know, you talk about what they were able to do against the Chiefs versus the Patriots. The goal against the Chiefs was to get Patrick Mahomes out of the pocket moving around and disrupt him with Key as the spy, right?
Right.
With Brady, it was different. With Brady, they needed to push in the middle of the pocket because Brady's not a threat to run out of the pocket, okay?
No.
So you had to collapse the pocket. So there was two different goals there. Yes, it's the same as far as you want to disrupt the quarterback, but you were disrupting them both in very different ways, which is why I think you saw some different looks as well that didn't work out for the Raiders. Okay, we're going to step aside now, take a break. On the other side, we'll come back. We're going to talk about all of this malaise on the defense. What about the pressure that creates on the Raiders offense to do more than they maybe have to or should to win games here in Las Vegas this year? You're on Silver and Black today with Q Myers, Scott Gilbranson. We'll be back right after this.